Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alicia Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Reverend Alicia Smith Withers, pastor of the Pavilion of God in Washington, D.C. Yes, my God is awesome. What an awesome God we serve. This is a beautiful day in Washington, D.C. There's a little chill in the air, and it feels like autumn. Amen. Tonight, my guest is Avia Mebane, a young woman who has a gentle and vibrant spirit. No one can be more lighthearted and fun, and also more thoughtful and committed to serve. So I invite you to stay on the line and listen and be inspired. If you are a first-time listener, a special welcome to you. I invite you to tune in on a regular basis. Also, you can always listen on demand and easily turn your work time, computer time, or leisure time into an opportunity to rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. The Tuesday night Rev Up with Reverend Alicia show is a Keeping It Real show about life. I minister to the people of God through all phases of their experience, even up to the higher life of the spirit. This show is a safe place to talk about everything from pop culture to politics, and I do mean everything from pop culture to politics. On Sundays at 12 noon, I have been broadcasting my weekly sermons, and I've had a little technical difficulty on Sundays, and I will be probably moving the time up for our sermon broadcast to 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings, but either listen in, look for notices on Facebook about the time of the sermon, and if you miss the Sunday sermon at 11 or 12, you can always go back and listen to it at any point during the day. So listen to the Sunday sermon and share the message with your friends. Follow the Rev Up with Reverend Alicia show for special broadcasts. From time to time, I'll have special broadcasts. So keep your eyes peeled for news about Rev Up with Reverend Alicia Blog Talk Radio Show. If you're in the Washington metropolitan area, I invite you to worship with the Pavilion of God on Sundays at 6401 Chilham Place Northwest, 6401 Chilham Place Northwest. In Washington, D.C. at 12:30. We're a small church with a big worship. Our new musician's name is Vanny. This is a young, talented musician. She plays guitar and has a wonderful voice, quite a talent. We're thankful to the Lord to have Vanny as a part of the Pavilion of God family. So join us in worship, for praise and worship, for a message that is from the Lord, and for an opportunity to sing praises with Vanny. Our Bible study is on Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. We have Bible study followed by a fellowship meal. Our topic for this Bible study is how to hear the voice of God, daily life. Haven't you wondered how to hear God's voice? Or whether you are hearing God's voice, or why aren't you hearing God's voice? And this is a great time to share your experiences. And if you are not able to attend the Bible study, we have the Bible study that you can join us on a conference call. Simply call in to 605-475-4333. 605-475-4333, and access code is 213-781. And you can join in the Bible study discussion from the comfort of your home. But it's more fun to be with us, but we welcome you to join in from the comfort of your home or office place. Maybe you're still at work at 6:30 on Wednesday evenings, on Thursday evenings. But in any case, please add us to your list of the ways that you can grow in your knowledge and love of the Lord. On Wednesdays at 6 a.m. and 12 noon, we have a prayer line. So we invite you to call in and share your prayer request. Many people email their prayer requests to me, and we share the prayer requests online. If you want a confidential prayer request, and we will be happy to pray for you and with you without disclosing your name. So please consider trusting us with your prayer concerns, and we'd like to invite you to pray with us on our prayer line. That number is the same, 605-475-4333, access code 213-781. Remember, the Pavilion of God is a safe space, safe place, and it is sacred space. You know, we find sacredness when there is safety, and there is emotional and spiritual safety at the Pavilion of God. You can come as you are. We invite you to come with your real self present and be ready to encounter the presence of the Lord. Tweet me at Rev Alicia. Follow me on Instagram at Rev Alicia, REVALETHEA. And you can email me at revalethea@gmail.com. Like the Pavilion of God on Facebook. And I invite you to, if you're listening or you've logged on to this Blog Talk Radio site, please click follow. That way you get additional information very easily about all of our weekly broadcasts. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I don't know whether you had thought about that. It's a good time to consider what domestic violence looks like in our community. What does domestic violence look like, perhaps even in your own home? Pray about that. Be thoughtful about that. This is also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I invite you to do all the things that you can do to prevent breast cancer, eating right, exercise, your self-examination, getting a mammogram based on the schedule that your doctor sets for you. Be alert. Pay attention to your health, and know that cancer is a serious concern, breast cancer, a serious concern, and we can do a lot for prevention and care and have healthy breasts. I'm a breast cancer overcomer, and we'll have an opportunity to talk a little bit more about that during October. And also we'll be talking about domestic violence during October. You know, whether you notice in the news, newspaper and the television news broadcast that there was a protest on Saturday evening in Ferguson, and it was a breathtaking protest at the St. Louis Symphony on Saturday evening when the concert was interrupted. It was a Brahms Requiem concert that was interrupted, and there are wonderful videos sharing that entire disobedience and disruption at the symphony. There was a civil rights song that was sung, and I remember hearing it on the video I saw on Facebook, and I literally got chills. The words were, "Which side are you on, friends? Which side are you on? Justice for Mike Brown is justice for us all." Powerful protests, powerful statements of a declaration of for justice. And at the end of this singing, and there were many people who stood up within the audience, and many people at that concert applauded. Of course, there were those who were very disturbed by the protest, but there were so many people who were supporting it. And at the end, they began to chant, "Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter." So please read about this. And I'm inviting you not to figure out what side you are. I'm hopeful that all my listeners have already discerned and discovered and declared what side they're on. But if you're not, and you have not given that thought, which side are you on, friends? Justice for Mike Brown. I want to remind you what the prophet Amos said, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And we have to understand that there are many impediments, the waters of justice. There are many blockages, and we have to remove those rock and boulders that are impeding the flow of justice. That's our work. That's the assignment that God has given to each of us. I want to invite you to be thoughtful and prayerful about what you can do. Okay, let's begin the show by the thing and the way that opens our hearts and opens our minds. And for me, the beginning is very simple. It is a time of prayer. Won't you pray with me? Almighty God, almighty and powerful God, thank you for creativity. We thank you for spontaneity and the powerful ideas and images you give us. You said, "Let there be light, Lord," and there was light. And we have been blessed to walk in the light, the beautiful light, the light that comes where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright, the light that shines all around us by day and by night, because Jesus is the light of the world. Oh, Lord, we have been blessed to be enlightened with innovative ways to shine your light into the dark recesses of the minds of our sisters and our brothers, those who resist movement, those who resist relinquishing old ways. God, we want to be like the one talked about in Exodus, Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah, the one whom you filled with the Spirit of God, skill and the intelligence and with the knowledge and with the craftsmanship to devise artistic designs. We want to be like Bezalel. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord, so that we might be new thinkers, new writers, new doers of your word, so that we might create new relationships between men and women and domestic partners, so that we might have new relationships between black and white, citizens and non-citizens, so that we might have new relationships between haves and have-nots. And Lord, during this month of October, this month that has been declared Domestic Violence Awareness Month and Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we pray for diligence. Empower us to assiduously pursue a cure for breast cancer, to embrace the courage to do what we can do to have healthy bodies, to do what we can do to end violence in our homes, the violence, the acts that violate divine peace. Oh, Lord, we lift these prayers, the unspoken prayers in our hearts, the prayers of our community. We lift all of these prayers, and we lift them in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 What a blessing it is to be with you this evening, beloved. If you're just joining us, welcome. I am Reverend Alethea, host of the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show. As with every show, we're going to rev up, accelerate, and energize your thinking tonight. So be ready. Get your heart open. Get your mind open. I want you to be able to have a creative and powerful spirit this evening. If you'd like to call in, please call in by dialing 347-945-7723. Or write your comments or questions on the blog or email me at revalethea@gmail.com. And I'll be happy to share your comments and questions with our special guest tonight. Tonight, I am thankful, delighted, pleased to have Avia Mebane. Avia Mebane is support staff at the D.C. Bilingual Public Charter School in Washington, D.C., and she is detailed to work with students at Central NEA School. Avia is a young woman who has a gentle and vibrant spirit. No one could be more lighthearted and fun, and also more thoughtful and committed to serve than Avia. She is an ordained deacon and serves the Lord at the Pavilion of God. So I must say that I'm delighted to have firsthand knowledge of some of her gifts. But what I am discovering, Avia, is that when I think I know you, there's even more to get to learn about your gifts and power and the grace that God has given you. So I want to welcome you to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show. Good evening.
Good evening, or as you say, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, it is wonderful to be here.
Yes, I want to say good morning all day long until I'm ready to put my feet up and say good night. So it is great for you to be here. I'm going to tell you ahead of time, Avia, the lines are lit up. We have a number of callers and a number who are not only prepared to listen but to ask questions this evening. And, you know, what I want to say to the audience is that we rarely have the opportunity to be a witness to what God is doing. We have a chance to say, well, look what the Lord has done. And that's a powerful, wonderful thing to say. Look what the Lord has done. But when we say, look what the Lord is doing, then we become witnesses with you and witnesses for what God is doing and watch the process unfold. So a number of us know you. Others are here tonight to hear a first-time reading. And when an author reads their work for the first time, it's always an exciting moment. So it's exciting for the listeners. And, Avia, I pray this will be an exciting moment for you as well.
It is. Thank you.
Very exciting. You just give me an idea of what were you, I guess I should say, what were you thinking when you decided to write this book? The title of the book is Amoret. What were you thinking?
That's a great question, because it's what was God thinking, because I had no clue. I started teaching at Central NEA last year, and I was teaching fifth graders. And one thing that I always did was tell stories, and they were always scary stories. And the kids loved the stories, and they were just made-up stories. I mean, I just made them up, you know, every day at the top of my head. And my co-teacher, as well as my students, would always say, you need to write a book. They would say this every day after the stories. And so I thought about it. I was like, I've never written a book before. You know, well, I can tell the stories. They can come up quickly. Maybe I can get it on paper. So I said, let me write a story. But then I said, I don't really want to write a scary story. You know, I wanted to, God had been really putting into my spirit love. So love became the theme. So I wanted to write a story of love. And I'm going to tell you, I know this to some, this might seem a little weird or whatever, but God actually, I mean, gave me this book. I wrote this book in 1 week. It is a short story, short book. So my hand just kept going. The pen was just going. So all of these were God's ideas that just came to me, you know, really quickly. So it's what was God thinking? You know, what did God have for me? Because like I said, I didn't know I was a writer, you know, an author. This is something that just came up. So, you know, I went with it, and here we are today. And as I read the story, you'll find out what Amaret, who she is, and what Amaret means.
Amen. You know, I was really touched. Maybe the audience might not know. I certainly didn't realize that J. California Cooper made her transition from this life during September. And she's a short story writer. And we often don't realize how exciting it is to hear the short story. And actually, a short story read is a wonderful thing. But short stories were really, in terms of our culture and history, were those things that we read aloud or told of, were recited aloud. And children loved the short story. And not only children, the adults loved the short story. And
exactly.
There's nothing more exciting than to hear the story, let your imagination fly, and enjoy it and capture the images in your head. It's a wonderful opportunity. And all of us, no matter how educated or sophisticated we might be, are really children at heart. And I have my bias. I was delighted as I read Amaret. So not to linger any longer, I'm going to invite you. This is the first time I've ever done this on the show, so you're the first one. This is a premier event for the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show. You're going to have a story read to us tonight.
All right.
So,
okay,
go ahead.
All righty. Again, you know, everyone knows the name of the book is Amaret. Can you please tell us another scary story, Miss Pringle? One student calls out. The fifth graders have choice play at a particular time in the day. At that time, the students love to hear her intricately crafted horror stories that are always made up from the top of her head. But today, she has other plans. As she is about to start a creepy scenario, something inside her tells her to share a story of love. Love, the students cry out. We want a scary story. Not today, she calmly retorts, and she begins to craft one of her best stories yet. There were two ladybugs named Earl and Edith. They had been married for 30 years. They wanted children for years but could never have any of their own. They watched their friends and family have and raise several children, and they were always willing to help whenever they could. Earl had brought up adoption before to Edith, but she was reluctant. She wanted her own and felt that it would simply not be the same. Earl, a quiet and gentle bug, always told Edith she would make an excellent mother. Sometimes Earl would catch Edith silently weeping. He, too, would then release a teardrop. He felt terrible because they never knew why they could not have children. The doctors could never give an explanation. One Saturday, Earl was on a day camping trip with his friend Randolph and Randolph's son, Bo. Earl was Bo's godfather, and Earl loved Bo. He was the closest thing of a son to him. Bo was 7 years old. He was a trickster and always kept everyone on their toes. He also told the best joke. He was just a joy to be around, and Earl loved every minute of it. While Earl was out, Edith was at home alone suffering from terrible pain. She tried to fly out and find Earl, but the pain was unbearable. When Earl finally made it home, it was dark. He came in to find Edith moaning in excruciating pain. Edith, what's wrong? I don't know, Earl, she said in a faint whisper. Earl was very concerned, so he called Dr. Featherstone. Dr. Featherstone was the only doctor in the area who made house visits. Dr. Featherstone immediately flew over to their house. After hearing the symptoms and running some tests, Dr. Featherstone let out a big laugh. Earl was very upset that the doctor was laughing at his hurting wife. "What's so funny, Doc?" Earl snapped. "The two of you have no idea what is going on, do you?" The two shake their heads. Dr. Featherstone announces that the two will be expecting a baby any minute now. "What?" they both exclaim. "That's impossible. I'm 67 years old." "Well," said Dr. Featherstone says, "I've been a doctor well over 40 years, and I know what I'm talking about." At that moment, Edith lets out a wail that can be heard from miles away. At that moment, the baby is welcomed into the world. "Oh, my gosh," Earl raves. "It really is a baby." Dr. Featherstone delivers the baby, but finds some obvious things wrong. Edith and Earl look at the doctor's face and can tell something is wrong. He holds the baby and gives her to Edith. Edith is so overcome with emotion, she can hardly hold the baby. She hands her to Earl. The doctor tells them that their baby is born with several birth defects. Earl then quickly passes the baby to Edith. "What do you mean?" Dr. Featherstone says, "Well, I don't have to state the obvious. She's shaped like a heart. She is purple and has yellow spots. This is not normal at all for us ladybugs. We pride ourselves with our rich history by being a reddish-orangish color." Edith takes her baby and says, "We will name you Amorette, which means little love." Earl tells the doctor thank you and escorts him to the door. The doctor turns to Earl and says, "Your baby is going to have a hard life. She is going to be looked at as unnatural. She will get teased wherever she goes. She will never fly, and she may not live a very long life. Earl, you and Edith are such good ladybugs. You don't deserve this. I am so sorry. Poor Edith. She always wanted a child, and this happens? This is so unfortunate." Earl was crushed. He thought, "Should I tell Edith all of this? She will be heartbroken." Earl goes back into the living room to find Edith lavishing Amorette with love, despite all the odds that were against them. Earl is wondering how she can be so happy. "Can't you see that Amorette is not like us?" Edith did not seem to care one bit. She was just so overjoyed by her new bundle of joy. After a couple of weeks, Edith decides to go to the store with Amorette. All heads turn because they had heard about Amorette's differences. They could not believe it. They had to see it for themselves. The mother ladybugs all gathered around and looked. No one said a word to Edith. They walked away and started laughing. Edith hears some of the cruel things being said about her baby. They were all hurtful, but Edith keeps going, pretending not to hear a word. When Edith leaves the store, she starts to cry aloud. "Why are these ladybugs so mean? No one is perfect." She then looks at Amorette and says, "But you are perfect to me." They fly home. Some years pass, and Amorette is now 10 years old. Edith and Earl are now 77. They're slowing down some, and Earl is sick. He decides before he dies that he's going to tell Edith everything the doctor told him about Amorette. When he does, she is not shaken a bit. She said, "Earl, this is the baby we were given, and this is the baby I'm going to love with my whole heart. I know you've had some problems with her diagnosis since day one, but I never have. I believe there is a reason I was given Amorette. I am someone who knows how to love in any situation. I'm actually happy she was given to me. She may not have gotten the special attention she needs from someone else. She will grow to do many marvelous things, regardless of what you or anyone else thinks." Earl said, "I love Amorette with all my heart, too. I just hate to see her treated the way she does. She gets treated. People look at her as if she's so insignificant. She will be fine, Earl. All the love I poured into her will last a lifetime. I'm not saying her feelings won't get hurt, but she will always remember that she had loving parents who did not look at her as a defect. In my opinion, Earl, the Creator does not make mistakes. Everyone is wonderfully made. After that, Earl's heart opened a little wider. He felt bad for the way he had been putting limits on Amorette. He decided to let go and love her with his whole heart. A couple of months later, Earl died. Edith and Amorette were heartbroken, but knew that they still had each other. Amorette had been going to a special school that was helping her with her developmental skills. Great progress was being made. Amorette was starting to speak, but it would be in a slow drawl. Edith was delighted with the achievement, but after Earl died, she could no longer afford the school. She had to enroll Amorette in a school with the general population. At first, Edith worried about how they were going to treat Amorette, but Edith always had great faith, so she tossed that thought into the back of her head. She knew everything was going to be just fine. On the first day of her new school, Amorette was laughed at and teased. Even some of the teachers did the same. She tried to ignore it. Every day when she went home, her mother asked her how her day was, and she would always say fine. She did not want to get her mother upset or to be worried about her. Amorette had been given a spirit of determination. She recognized all the sacrifices her parents had made for her, and she knew without a doubt that her mother loved her unconditionally. 2 years later, when Amorette was 12 years old, Edith passed away. Amorette did not think she could go on. She moved in with Edith's younger sister, Doreen, and her husband, Morris. They had three children, Jason, Aaron, and Brooke. They were older than her, but Brooke was closest in age. She was 15. Amorette had met them a couple of times, but they were not very receptive towards her. When she arrived, Doreen and Morris were nice, but Amorette could tell they were a bit uncomfortable by her presence. Amorette thought that is why she did not spend much time with them in the past. Doreen and Brooke show her to the room she would be sharing. Brooke was very to the point and short when she talked to Amorette. She never looked Amorette in the eye. She always either looked down or past her. Her new family lived away from her old house, so Amorette had to be enrolled into a new school. One day, Brooke asked her parents why Amorette had to live with them. Her parents said, because she has nowhere to go and that she's family. Amorette overheard the conversation and knew that she must be a burden for everyone. She decided to run away. Running was her only option because she still could not fly. She wrote a letter explaining how she felt, and she did not want to make them uncomfortable. She let them know that she could not help the way she was born, and it would be better for her to go away. It would help to bring peace back to the family. Amorette had no clue where she would run to. The only thing she knew was she had to get out of there as fast as she could. Amorette had nothing except the spots on her back. She cried as she ran away, thinking that she would never be accepted by the ladybug community. She decided to go to the spider community. They will eat me and put me out of my misery, she thought. And she thought long and hard about it and decided it was the best thing to do. Plus, she had nowhere else to go. Amorette had never been to spider territory before. She always heard of how mean spiders were. She was terrified. But again, at least she'd be put out of her misery. As Amorette was walking to the spider's territory, she heard beautiful singing. She did not know where it was coming from. She looked further ahead and saw a bird with one wing. He was singing, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. The bird sang with so much conviction. As Amorette passed by, she felt slightly encouraged. She thought that this bird was very positive. He only has one wing, and he seemed so happy. The bird stopped singing. He was caught by her beauty. "Excuse me," he said. "What type of bug are you? I have never seen anything as beautiful ever before in my life." Amoret chuckled. "I'm a ladybug." "What? I've never seen a ladybug that looked like you before." "I know," said Amoret. "I was born with birth defects. All the other ladybugs make fun of me because I don't look like them." The bird said, "Hi, my name is Peter. I have seen thousands of bugs in my lifetime, and none has ever caught my eye like you have. You should really feel special. And for one, you're the color of royalty."
"Royalty?"
"Yes, royalty," Peter said. "I never knew that. You should really embrace your differences. Don't you think this would be a boring world if everyone looked the same? I am sure some of those ladybugs envy you. I was born with one wing. Growing up, I was teased all the time. All of the other birds said I was not a real bird. I had no friends growing up. My own parents even abandoned me." Amoret felt sad for Peter. At the same time, she felt a connection. She understood firsthand what he had endured. She could totally relate. "How are you able to be so happy and sing? You have such a beautiful voice. Your voice is so calming. I could listen to you sing all day." They both laughed. "It was not easy to get to the place I'm currently in. There were many days and nights of crying and feeling sorry for myself. Many days I woke up and thought, why was I born? I'm no good for myself or anyone else. I can't get a real job, and I'll just be in everyone's way. I decided I was going to jump off that cliff over there. No one was going to miss me. Well, as I was standing over, about to jump, a strong wind pushed me back. The wind had such an energy, such a force. I fell back into a tree. I felt the sensation come over me, and I began to sing, 'I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky.' The sound that came out was unbelievable. It was so powerful. I never knew I could sing until that night. Birds from everywhere flew down and flocked to me. A lot of them started crying and apologizing to me. They told me that they had never heard a bird sing as melodic and beautiful as me. At that very moment, I realized how important I was. I discovered how much I was needed. I am now known as the bird healer. Whenever someone is sick or if a bird has passed, I always sing. It gives the family such a sense of peace. I know what you were on your way to do." "What?" Amoret asked. "How do you know?" Peter said, "I've never seen a ladybug in this area before. They don't travel this far. It is pretty unsafe for them. You have such a glorious life ahead of you." "I have since realized that every single creature on this earth was purposely created. We are all on a journey, and we all have a mission, whether you know it or not, yet. We cannot abort our mission. All of our differences were purposed." Amoret was amazed at how wise Peter was. She was starting to feel better and then said, "Well, I still don't know what my purpose is." Peter said, "Your purpose is to live in this very moment. It will come to you. Trust me, I felt very much like you did. I have since released any negative thoughts about myself. I know that I'm wonderfully made." "My mom used to tell me that all the time." She has since passed away. "And after my parents died, I have no support system. I feel so alone. Most days, I don't want to do anything." "Wow. Well, at least you knew your parents. At least they loved you, and you got to spend precious time with them. I was just left to fend on my own. A part of me does not regret it now because it made me so much stronger than a lot of these other birds out here." "Yeah. You do seem mighty strong," she said. "Fear not. Turn back around. Go home and find your purpose. It is waiting for you." Peter gives Amoret a push with his wing, and she starts to fly. Amaret cannot believe it. How am I flying? The doctor said I would never fly. Peter said, all you have to do is believe. Thank you so much. Amaret flew all the way home. When she arrived back at her aunt and uncle's house, everyone could tell she was different. She seemed more confident. They also saw her fly in, which was a shock to them. Amaret, everyone shouted. Where have you been? Her aunt said, we got your letter and hoped you would return. Brooke even said, it was lonely without you here. Even I missed you. Amaret was so happy to hear those words. You all really missed me? Yes. Even the ladybugs at school wondered where my purple cousin was. They all laughed. I learned a lot about myself while I was gone. A little birdie told me that I should not be embarrassed about my differences. I am purple with yellow spots for a reason. I am on a mission, and I plan to fulfill it. The bugs were reunited, and all was good. The next day, Amaret went to school, and all of the other ladybugs looked at her, but were not saying anything. She wasn't used to that. They would usually start teasing her by now. Oh, well, she thought. When she got to her locker, the bug whose locker was next to her mentioned how she had a glow, that she looked very radiant. Amaret looked kind of confused, but said, thanks, Lucy. Amaret went to the bathroom. When she passed the mirror, she saw a bright light hovering around her. She heard her mother's voice. The voice said, I love you. I always have. I have always looked at you as flawless. Keep your light shining, and others will recognize that you are very special. No matter what you're facing, you always have to believe. Amaret was about to say something when the bathroom door opened. It was Lucy. She asked if Amaret was ready for class. Amaret smiled and said, yes. She felt so empowered. Lucy had caught her up on things that had happened while she was gone. Amaret was only gone 2 days, but it seemed much longer. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm having a birthday party this Saturday and would love for you to come. Me? A party? Amaret shouted. She had never been invited to a party before. She quickly regained her composure and said, I'm going to have to see. You know, Saturdays can be really busy. Lucy looked kind of stunned. She said, yeah, I know what you mean. Amaret could not wait to get home and tell Brooke that Lucy invited her to a party. Brooke was so happy for Amaret. She helped her pick out an outfit. She even let her borrow one of hers. When she tried it on, she felt beautiful. When Amaret approached Lucy's house, she was so excited. One of Lucy's friends who goes to another school opened the door and yelled out, the clown is here! Amaret was so ashamed, she turned around and headed home. She stopped at a nearby tree and started crying. I knew I could never fit in. I was fooling myself. Just then, she saw a bird fly by and instantly thought of Peter. She began to sing, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. She remembered all the things Peter endured and began to bring her back to her purpose. She decided to go back to the party. She was getting stronger. She said, I want to have some fun. I deserve some fun. This time, when she knocked, Lucy answered the door and said, I love your outfit. It's so cool. Come in. I've been waiting for you. Amaret followed behind Lucy and meets her friend. Lucy's friend Anna was embarrassed. I thought you were a clown because you were purple with yellow spots. I thought it was a costume. No, Amaret said, this is my real shell. Well, that's kind of neat, very different. I've never seen anything like it before. Soon after, the girls got acquainted. Some of the bugs were asking how they too could get a purple shell. Amaret laughed and said, I am a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. There was a knock at the door. Lucy answered and shouted, the real clown is here. They all laughed. From that moment on, Amaret never felt embarrassed, ashamed, or confused about who she was. She knew she was chosen to help other ladybugs. She started out by educating the bugs at her school. She earned their respect, and everyone started calling her Amor for short, which means love. The end.
Yay! I really wish I had an applause button, and I hear the applause going on from all of the listeners right now. Oh, my goodness. I had a hard time, Avia, as you read, because I wanted to burst out laughing at certain and then I needed to wipe away the tears at other points, and then I wanted to cheer at other moments. So I had my moments as I listened to that story. Wow, what a powerful, powerful story that is. I am one of a kind, a masterpiece.
That's right.
Do you know, we could teach some lessons from that. I want to invite our listeners to call in, ask your questions, 347-945-7723, or write on the blog. I have a number of people on the line now. I have so many questions I want to ask, but I want to share some of this time with our listeners. So if it's okay, Avi, I want to go right to the phone.
Bring it on.
Yes, good evening, caller from 202-486. Welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Show.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is your sister and your niece and nephew and Davina.
Hey, Avia.
Just wanted to let you know that we love you. You are a masterpiece in itself, and the story is phenomenal.
Great.
And you just keep it up, because you definitely have a message to share with the whole world. I'd also
Amen.
I'd also say hello to Reverend Alethea, and you are doing a phenomenal job as well, and we love you both.
Love you, and thank you guys, because you all are inspiration for me too, guys. Thank you so much.
All right.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Well, I hope that you heard the other part. They're looking for more from you, Avia. And I have a feeling, as I listen to the applause from the universe, we're looking for more from you, more from you. I'm going to 202-701. Hold on. Good evening, caller, and welcome to the Rev Up with the Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show.
Good evening. Am I on?
Yes, you're on.
Okay, I'm sorry. I always ask that. Sound like a ditzy old lady. But I want to tell you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Reverend Alethea, for your Rev Up program. I love it. I love it. And I want to say thank you so much to Sister Avia.
Oh, wonderful.
That story, according to you, was written by God using you as a vessel.
Yes.
That's the way I understood your explanation of how this story got written.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you something. There's no other way that I could believe that an exquisite tale like this was written. It is a tale of love, of acceptance, of understanding, and of opening yourself up to possibilities.
That's right.
It is a lesson like many of those that we find in our Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lesson that everyone can appreciate when reading this book, and it's a lesson that does not have any restrictions in terms of religious denomination or anything like that, but it is so beautiful. It is incredibly beautiful. It's something that can be appreciated by little children or people my age. It's just perfect. And all I can say is, Avia, this story is definitely your story, because this is the kind of stuff you do. You do it so effortlessly. You do it modestly, but you always do it in a way that's good and of God. And I thank you all for this program this evening, and I thank Reverend Alicia, and I especially thank Avia. Thank you so much for sharing.
And I thank you too.
All right.
Yes, thank you. So we're hearing from Avia, what do you think about the comments you've heard so far? It's really some powerful messages just in the comments from the callers. What are you thinking about that as you hear the comments?
Well, it's very encouraging to me because, like I said, I didn't think I was a writer. So when you don't think you are something and you're just starting out, you're a little nervous. You're like, how is the public, you know, are they going to be receptive or not? So like you said earlier, this is my first reading. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, and so you're a little bit like Amorette. You're not too sure how you'll be
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the comments though.
Yeah, well, we have a number of callers still. I have a question here from on one of the lines, and with what lessons do you want people to learn from the story? I mean, callers already indicated the lessons about love and the lessons about perseverance, so many lessons there. Were there particular lessons that you were trying to help the children learn as you wrote this story that you were conscious of, that you were teaching through the story?
Well, one thing, you know, starting, you know, that I am working with children, you see a lot of differences in the children and you see how children with differences are treated, even as an adult, but it, like you said, it starts from children. And so I tell my students all the time, this is even before I wrote the book, that we are all specially made, you know, and if you lack in one area, you're mighty in another area. You know, all of us might not excel or are great in one area, but what we're lacking, we certainly make up in another area. So just to love who we are, love how we were created and made, the way we look, the way we talk, you know, it's all special and it was all purposed, you know. So for us to try to change who we are, that's not a good thing, you know, unless you're trying to change for the better, to love more, you know, that way. But when you read the book, whoever reads the book, you're supposed to get your own whatever you need to get from the book, you know?
Yes.
And so it's peppered with many themes, but you might just come up with one thing. Someone might come up with three things, but whatever, it's for them. It's for everyone to get something from the book. And it's really just to encourage everyone to keep going on, from the children all the way to the adult. Life is a journey. And there are some stops along the way that some people just feel like they cannot go on anymore. But it's just to encourage you to keep going. Your journey is ongoing, and you have to be encouraged along the way or you'll feel defeated or think you're not good enough. But God puts so much into us that, I mean, we could just be so powerful. We are powerful, but we have to find and know who we are.
Amen. Well said. And, you know, in our way, even whether we're not in a religious setting, you're not in a religious setting, but we want to be able to teach our children values and have a sense of morality. And part of the moral compass is developed when we learn to love ourselves and to accept ourselves. I have a caller now from 202-716. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show. Good evening, caller.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Go right ahead.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
I just wanted to call and say I'm a good friend of Avia's, and it's an awesome book, I believe. Actually, she read it to me earlier today, and I think that if you knew her, you would understand the book more. She's a really caring person, and she was trying to get a point across with the book. But I just wanted to say, as her pastor, I believe you're doing a wonderful job with her. She's an awesome person. I'm not the best, but she keeps me on my toes. And I just wanted to appreciate you all for everything. Yeah, Avia, she'll get me straight quick. She'll put the Lord, and I'm the type of person that, you know, I love the Lord, and if with Avia, you'll never get enough of them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you for calling. We want you to keep listening to the show. He's a man who loves the Lord, and he knows Avia is sincere, which is important. You know, and I think that we're hearing that from this caller and from the previous callers, that you showed up on the pages. You know, you don't tell your story, personal story necessarily, but your values come out in the story, and that's what gives it substance. That's what makes it real, and that's what people want to listen to and can listen to more than one time. So I think that is so helpful. So what do you have to say about what the caller said, Avia?
All I can do is laugh, because to know him is to love him too. He's hilarious, so, but he's a really great friend of mine. So I appreciate that he took the time out to call and say something. So that means a lot. I'm happy about that.
Wonderful. And you know, one of the things that, and I want the audience to hear, we hide ourselves under a bushel. We don't let our lives, our light shine. We need to be able to be real in our work lives and be real in our with our family and our friends. And a lot of times our family and our friends have no clue who we are. And so I think this is wonderful that you're sharing your own passion with others who are close to you. And I'm going to tell the caller, yes, I am doing my best as her pastor to keep her on the path. But a lot of times I want to tell him, too, that you keep me on my path, so thank you. So I want to go to another caller. We have a number of other callers. You may not get everyone this evening, but caller from area code 212920. Welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alicia Blog Talk Radio Show.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
My name is Laura. I'm calling from New York. I work with school-age children as well. I work with children. And I wanted to know, I want to ask the author, what's like a special quality about yourself that maybe when you were younger or, you know, a long time ago that you appreciate now that maybe you were unsure of back then?
Well, that's a good question. One thing my parents, they always instilled in me and my sister just to love and to treat mm-hmm. everyone kind and respectful and to be nice. So
okay.
I'm not trying to be, you know, but I do think I'm a nice person. I talk to everybody. You know, I make everyone try to feel special because everyone is special. I listen to them. So being also a good listener and just being caring and respecting people who they are and where they are in life, that's very important. And I learned that as a child. And sometimes people would tease me and say, you're too nice, or you talk to everybody, or you is a... But it has paid off as an adult because people have told me that they appreciate the fact that I like to listen to them. They appreciate the fact that I compliment them, make them feel special about, you know, who they are. And also my spiritual gift, I'm an exhorter, which means I'm an encourager. So I was born to encourage. So that those are qualities that I have that, you know, I recognize as a child, you know, up to adulthood.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful
New York.
Question. I have a question for what made you ask that question? That's a powerful question.
I just wanted to know because I know a lot of times as children, we battle with a lot of things that we're not able to deal with as an adult. That we're not able to deal with, and then when we become an adult, we're able to appreciate it more. Being that I've worked with children before in school, sometimes you hear, you know, kids calling each other names and they're judging each other by their hair or their weight or a lot of different things. Or even myself growing up, you know, being a heavier set child, it was hard for me. And then when you become older, you realize that none of those things are really important because you are special and you are wonderfully made and no one else is like you. So as you grow and you develop, you know, you appreciate those things a little more. So I know everyone's story is a little different, so I just wanted to hear hers.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Wow, we got a caller from New York with a great question, and that's very insightful, and how you brought your understanding of love into this. And it's a powerful thing because it resonates with all of us. We all have something about ourselves, and even wonderful qualities about ourselves that we're trying to make peace with. And people judge the kind person. They judge the loving person. They make the person who feels different. And that difference is, in fact, their gift. And we're all challenged. So thank you for that teacher asking that question. And your book is reaching the heart and concerns of so many people. Any comments about what that caller said?
No, I mean, she made very valid points. I mean, even me, you know, growing up, I used to wear glasses. My back was slightly hunched, you know, but my mom, again, and dad always told us how beautiful we were. So I never thought anything was, you know, I just kept going and kept walking with my head high. You know, those comments do kind of throw you off. But when you've been instilled with so much strength and power and love, that I overcame those things and I was still able to keep going and still was able to be myself. Like in the 12th grade, I was voted for the superlative most eccentric because I did what I wanted to do. I danced to my own beat. I didn't care what anybody said, you know, and they recognized that. People recognized that. And I like that. I like that, you know, that I'm an individual, you know, and I'm embracing my individuality. So that was a really great question that she brought up.
Wonderful. So callers and listeners, as you're tonight, I want you to take down this phone number. You'll have a chance to talk a little bit more with Avia on Thursday evening during our Bible study. She is our Bible study teacher, and we're talking about how to hear God's voice. And what a powerful topic that is in light of Amaret. You may call in if you're not able to come out to Bible study. We are at 6401 Chilham Place Northwest in Washington, D.C., or you can call 605-475-4333. Access code is 213-781. Let me give that number again, 605-475-4333. 4333, access code 213-781. That information is always on the Pavilion of God Facebook page, and I have a feeling we're going to have to talk about Amaret a little bit during Bible study. she's going to come up to help us learn a lot of lessons. And one of the things you were mentioning is you wrote out, we all live out of our spiritual gifts. And you talked about one spiritual gift, but I would say you also have the spiritual gifts of teaching.
Yes.
And I'm going to put out here, many times we have spiritual gifts we don't recognize, and we see it in the work that we do and how God is using us. And the other one I want to offer to you, since your friend was saying that I'm keeping you on your path, I'm going to try to keep her on her path. Another spiritual gift would be mercy and faith.
Yes.
That book is, the story is really rooted in mercy and faith. And so it offers and reflects so many of your spiritual gifts that ask from New York. They go back not just to a month ago or a year ago, but go back to your childhood. And that's an important part of it. We're near time to wrap up. Any comments that you want to have? We have other callers. I want to, first of all, if you would give your email address, if you'd like to order the book from Avia, please just send her a note, and she'll get back to you when books will be available.
So if you just give her your name and your interest in getting a copy of the book, she would appreciate that. We'd like to see the book available by Christmas time. It would be a wonderful Christmas gift. So can you give them your email address, please?
Sure. My email address is Avia, A-V-I-A, Mebane, M-E-B-A-N-E, at gmail.com.
Wonderful.
Mebane at gmail.com.
Right. And so it's a great way to get a copy of the book so that you can share it with your friends. A nice gift for children and adults. Avia, I thank you for being with us this evening. We'll have to have you come back and share some new writing, new insights, or maybe we'll have you guide us one evening in a particular Bible study. You're very gifted at Bible study. I thank you for being on the Rev Up with Reverend Alicia show. And now I'd like to offer a couple of comments. Again, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Audience, as you listen to Avia Mebane's story, you heard the possibilities and promises all of us should embrace, no matter how young or how old we are. If we were more like the main character, Amoret, and if we had more teachers like Avia Mebane and more friends or neighbors like Avia, the world would indeed be a better place. The world would be a better place because people would not fear differences or the challenges that come from being differently abled. We'd be able to see black, brown, red, white, yellow skin for what it is, and we would celebrate the diversity of stories and the cultural context of all peoples. It would take, if we took Amoret seriously, none of us would be inclined to torment others who were different from us, of those who were tormented would be more inclined to see and embrace their strengths and then magnify them through the grace and love of God. Yes, Miss Mebane's story is for children, and it is also for all of us who have a wounded child inside of us, or a child inside of us who is inclined to be a bully, or a child inside of us who needs to grow and embrace their gift to fly in one or more miraculous ways. Thanks, Miss Avia Mebane, Deacon Avia Mebane. Thank you for the inspiration and for the challenge to listen to the other little birdie that whispers in our ear. To purchase Avia's book, remember, simply email her at Avia Mebane, A-V-I-A-M-E-B-A-N-E, at gmail.com. Beloved, continue to listen so that you can rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. Look forward to being with you next week.